everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I bet most of you already knew that. I'm talking to you today, normally from Bellingham, Washington, but today I'm in L.A., California, where all the people are performing and looking at each other, and oh my gosh, it's quite a different reality here. I'm having a lot of fun. It's quite spiritual, and I'm learning a lot about how to market my television series and visiting my stepdaughter. It's really amazing. So what I wanted to talk to you all about tonight is I think I want to talk about a potpourri of things. I have a friend who's a very, very dear friend and a wonderful healer who is transiting. She's very, it's kind of heartbreaking. She's quite an amazing woman, and she's developed a very rapid form of ovarian cancer. And I've been working with her on conscious dying, and I haven't had time to see her for about a week, but I'll do that again. And we've been talking about the process of dying. And I find it very remarkable that for most of us, making changes out of the patterns of our life has been a really, for a lot of people to change who they are and where they're headed and what they're doing and what their repeated patterns are can be very, very difficult and very trying. And we face times of, resistance, looking the other way, hopelessness, or things that trip us up. We face a lot of our own subconscious and psychological issues. We face our own fear of, I guess you could say, in a subconscious way or an exaggerated way, fear of dying, fear of losing our identity and ourselves. So working with my friend, and I've known a number of people who've passed just like all of you have, but I haven't actually worked with them as they go right through the portal. And working with my friend has been, of course she hasn't gone right through the portal yet, but has been really interesting because we're both healers and are accustomed to talking on a rather multidimensional level. It's been a really interesting study of the various challenges that she faces, like really getting to know what's going on, really feeling deep down that it's kind of a choice. You know, at some level, it's always a choice, isn't it? And the regrets and the different rapport between herself and the various aspects of her life. Like, for example, we talked about, she talked about the intricacies of the process way down deep inside, how many parts of her were kind of examining life and themselves. And I asked if she was grieving over people that she wouldn't be seeing again. And she said, interestingly enough, she didn't have any of that kind of connection, that there was so much going on inside of her of weighing things and understanding things and making choices and unhooking attachments and adherences to ways of being and identity and so on, that she felt, you know, if she looked at it, she felt sad for the people that are going to miss her and for the people for whom she, and she's a single woman without children, but for the friends that were going to find a big space in their life when she's gone. She felt a little of that kind of sadness, but actually felt no real attachment to the people around her or the people that she has spent a lot of years really loving. And she found that kind of mesmerizing. She said, isn't that interesting? Because it isn't her nature to be quite that, what would you call it? It sounds cold, doesn't it? Sounds really objective. So I started listening. Well, she and I did an interview on a lot of the process, and we'll do a further interview as she goes farther into the process of what it's like to be consciously dying, which is what she's doing. She's a very, very conscious woman. And I likened it to becoming conscious about the kinds of changes we want to make in our lives and how strange and difficult that can be for us. So really, a lot of times, endings and losses are really like mini-deaths, aren't they? We know about some societies out in the universes might live for, say, 5,000 years. And in our society, we've chosen to live like a number of lives or many, many chapters in the expanse of our life or in the actual flow of our life, our soul's lifetime. That's the way I understand it anyway, and it makes it a kind of an easy, it's a relatively easy metaphor for what life is all about. And so watching this process, it's fascinating to me how we have all passed so many times. But I'll tell you something, there's a very, very deep, deep, what is it? Every time we pass, there is a tremendous grief and a tremendous loss deep down inside of us. It's kind of, it's fascinating, isn't it? It's how we have inevitable transitions that we have to make in life and in death, and yet we grieve, don't we? We lose ourselves, we lose our identity, we lose the way we wore our hat, we lose associations with a lot of people. And yet we also know that we very often will choose to be reborn in various different reflections or different styles of being. So souls who have been mother and daughter, for example, might be reborn as brothers or as teacher and pupil or as, aunt and niece and so on. I mean, people change around, husband and wife. And I feel like we've all understood that that's because, as Dwal Kool will call it, that we choose almost in a relentless, magnetic way to run into beings lifetime after lifetime according to the drives of our subconscious and our karmic self. So like with all the work that we're doing here on Radiance by Design, and many of you who are listening are working with all kinds of expanded states of awareness and plumbing the depths of your psyche and your soul. And those of you who are at Jackie Salvitti's intensive, which I didn't make this time, understanding the huge, huge way that in our soul and psyche we could get in touch with places where our identity has been, crystallized by places in history or ways of being or planetary influences or galactic influences, and yet all together in a collective with the help of Jackie's amazing consciousness team, beings can go in and unhook that and actually meet great beings who are on the other side who will help guide them through their soul's journey. Oh my gosh, so what is death? What is life? What is the soul's journey? I'm absolutely fascinated by all that, and yet in the meantime, with this great transcendent expansion, we know we grieve. We grieve and lose. We grieve at the loss of various ways of being and stating. That's kind of a long preamble, but I've been traveling. I went from Bellingham to Los Angeles to study the reconnection with Eric Pearl, and I went with a cousin, a wonderful cousin, with whom I reconnected. We hadn't seen each other for probably 40 years, and we went together to learn about connecting to absolutely tremendous high frequencies that are coming down, according to lots of teachers. I was thinking of David Wilcock particularly. And also my own guides and angels and the education that I receive on a daily basis, these tremendous downloads that are coming in are very high frequency, and they're helping prompt the integration and the evolution of our souls and our being during these times of rapid change. So it's another form of change, isn't it? It's a bit of a death to the way the paradigm has run before, and hopefully an expansion in our consciousness, which will bring us to a much higher frequency and the ability to live as a very, very conscious species all together. Ooh, is that going to happen or what? But when you think about dying, you think about that 5,000-year stretch, and then you think about how many lifetimes it's taken us to gather wisdom to get to this far, and then we think about just the actual process of passing over in order to continue that learning. Is it possible for us to get the learning without passing over? I'm just really in this wonderful vortex of cogitating change, transformation, transition, and all of these various phases. So whether you're moving out of your body consciously in order to meet the intergalactic council on an etheric level, or whether you're dying, as we call it, when you actually doff your body and move your soul to a much, hopefully, higher level of consciousness, they're all kind of like deaths, aren't they? Whoa, what a strong preamble that is. Did you follow me? Now, I want some feedback from a lot of you tonight. I'd really appreciate it if you'd let me know if you like, and you can always email me if you like, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Do you like the sacred geometric meditations? I had some very interesting feedback on them the other day, for a week, actually, different people having different opinions about that. So I wanted to ask those of you listening to Radiance by Design if you have any feedback for me. Do you think those meditations are interesting? I know they're hugely, hugely powerful, but I've heard some people say they really don't like doing them. But I know they're just an amazing way to deal with, for example, change, transition, loss, manifestation, changing who you are to create a new level of yourself. The other thing I really believe, so I'd really like you to let me know what you think of those, if you're complaining about them, or if you absolutely love them, or if you've got some other suggestions that you want to say. So please let me know about that. In fact, tonight, I don't know if we will do them. Yeah, we will, because I've given you all that preamble, but I might go back to doing the sound meditation. One of the reasons I do these meditations is to consciously raise the fields and frequency all around for our Radiance by Design community, because it's my belief, my understanding, and my guidance that has taught me a lot about the fact that if we can develop community and community consciousness at a higher level, then we can really accelerate the rate at which the collective of our species shifts through these times of great change. So I just always want to make sure that I do some kind of unifying meditation for all of us here listening to Radiance by Design at a time. What do you think of that? So I think we're just going to do that one tonight, and I'd love you to call in with your questions and tell me what you think about. Some of you have had near-death experiences. Some of you have worked in hospice and worked a lot with dying people. Some of you have sight and vision and sound and love to work beyond the third dimension. I just want to talk about changes, transitions, and how we ourselves are doing. As most of you know, my show on Tuesday night is called Paradigm Shifters, because I believe this time of the shift is being egged on, is being guided and supported by many, many individuals who are creating, or maybe they don't have to be individuals, but they're creating new ways, they're creating pathways into the vibrational fields we call the collective unconscious. And they're creating vibrational pathways that stir and electrify parts of that collective conscious and really help to shift the paradigm. I've heard that the big shift that's going on, the one in which we're supposed to be able to become consciously evolving and a win-win society, beings who truly love one another no matter what, people who aren't greedy and so on, but really care about the greater good and have community consciousness. I hear that this shift isn't guaranteed. The shift is only going to work if we all do consciousness work to make it happen. And so I really believe that that's what you're doing here, and that's what I'm doing here, and many, many others, and many other programs, and many other styles of working with individuals are making it happen. So join me as we do the sacred geometric structures, and remember, we're doing it all together so that we can lift and raise the consciousness of our species. So let's go, and then I'm going to get you to call in with your questions, and we're going to talk about things, including, including the process of dying or the process of moving out of this consciousness, you know, anything that we want to talk about that is in any kind of change or elevating ourselves beyond that which is patterned. So let's take a couple of deep breaths and try to see the fabric of connection, a vibrational fabric that we want to move and lift, sort of like those great big things that firemen all hold together to catch falling people. And we're going to hold it all amongst us, this great fabric of change, and then shift it up and lift ourselves. So let's call up a golden ball above your head, perhaps 2 to 4 miles, and a golden ball below your spine, about 40 feet. And let's drop a beautiful gold filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. Good. And let's do the old one we used to do. Let's have a circle of golden balls all around your waist, maybe about 20 feet out. And from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink radiant strings. So you've got kind of like a canopy pointing up. And then do the same thing pointing down, a canopy of pink strings. So you're inside of this wonderful, wonderful canopy pointing up, canopy pointing down. It's a big round thing. It's like the octahedron, only this one's round. It's a little different, isn't it? It feels different. And now inside of that, you have a crystal ball. The outside edges nudge the inside edges of our wonderful structure here. And inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron. Or a Star of David that's three-dimensional. You're inside of that. Now we spin and spin and spin. And as we spin, we see in front of us a beautiful screen, a big magical screen. And on the screen, we're going to place movies of what it is we want to create. The first little movie is who you want to be and what you want to be doing. And every week I say, I want to be multidimensional. I want to be functioning on a multidimensional level. Good. And I want to come from the heart. I want to be able to see in different dimensions and be in different dimensions by choice. What is it you want? Just set it up so that you are that. Good. And when you really feel whatever it is you're wanting to set up for yourself, you really feel that you're able to do it. Good. And then you relax and enjoy the fact you did it. Wrap it in light. And now let's move to the next screen. And on the next screen, you see a movie of what it is you want to create. I'm wanting to create my television series. It takes a while, you know, because I'm a neophyte. I have to learn a lot of things. And let's see on my little movie all the beings and the resources that I need to keep creating this series that I think is going to lift and entertain people. So I see that, and I see all the resources coming. I see it being wonderful. The resources are coming, and it gets stoked up, and it's on a wonderful television station, and I'm just grinning and grinning and enjoying it thoroughly. And then I see the resources coming to fuel it to be an ongoing process. Now, maybe what you want to create is a book, a household, a family. It doesn't matter what it is you want to create. Just see it happening. And then when it's going really well, wrap it in light so that the higher beings, the higher consciousness, which is what we're striving to be in, aren't we? Yes, can wrap it in light and keep it percolating for you. We're going to manifest it that way. And then the next section is the Galactic Healing Center. And we're going to see a team standing around a healing table in this sparkly, shiny center of healing. The first person to lay on the table is, guess who? It's you. So you lay on the table, and you have this very mystical, mythical team around you, and they come from many dimensions, and you ask them for a healing. Good. And you ask them for a healing, and what is it they do for you? Okay. Yeah. And you can sometimes feel the impact of how they're working on you. And as they do that, that's right. And as they do that, ask them if there's something that you should do that they can give you advice about? Okay. And you might even want to jot that down. And then you wrap it in light so they can continue with your healing. And then we call in the next. The team replicates themselves because they're very magical. And then we call in the next being who needs healing. I'm going to put in my friend who with the extreme case of ovarian cancer. I'm going to put her in there and have the team move all around her. Okay. And who are you putting in there? And then seeing all these beings work on my friend and work on my friend. Oh, interesting. And I'm watching carefully, and they're drawing, you know, it's really interesting. They're drawing frequencies out of her that I'm seeing are coming from other lives. And as they pull those out, there's a different level of peace in my friend. Yes. Yeah. Then I'm asking if there's any kind of message for her. And they're talking to her themselves. And she's got full sight and knowing. Good. That's interesting because one of the things we don't want to get into is denial. And what they're saying to her is about let yourself feel, know, and experience these and don't judge them. As Dwal Kool says, you want to have compassion, wisdom, and altruistic thought. And as we're going through these processes of clearing, we want to have those for ourselves, don't we? So if you discover something that's been logged in there from some life where you were kind of a bully or a vehement overlord or something, you know, get very melodramatic here and pull these out, you don't want to be judgmental about it. You want to just pull it out and say, oh, huh, that's in there too, huh? But let it go. Don't sit around and worry about it. So I'm seeing them pulling all kinds of things outside of her and wrap it in light and wrap her in light and absolutely surround her with love. And then we do one more. We have the healing team around a table to replicate again themselves, and we're bringing in another being who needs healing. Oh, this one's a surprise to me. Who are you bringing in? This is a young man. Yeah, who has a lot of rage and fury and a lot of hurt. But he also is unwell in a number of ways, and he drinks too much. So they're holding him and loving him and putting all kinds of beautiful energy in and around him. What's going on in your healing room? That's it. Yeah. And then when you think that there's a lot going on inside of your patient there, you know, when you think that that's really sufficient, and when I say sufficient, it's like when you get the ball rolling enough, then you wrap it in light and send it out to the side so that the team can keep working on this person. And now let's do a political situation. And I'm really not paying too much attention to politics right now because I've been on the road doing everything else, and I'm not really a great follower of the news, or as Swami Beyondananda calls it, the olds. So you can choose the political situation you want. My feeling is to see an absolute emanation of healing energy whipped through beings, the consciousness, the unconscious, and the collective conscious of beings all over the world who are in any position of power, so that win-win of knowing and loving humanity and all of life can become a really important aspect of life. I want to see that. Now, let's call in. I don't know what you're doing, but you all have a political picture of some sort. Let's call in this kind of amazing, colorful light from these new universal downloads, have it come in through the top of your head and out your heart and your hands, and move that light all through our political scenario, touching the hearts and minds of people who are in positions of power all over the world. They could be little people too, you know. We're all in positions of power. That's right. We are. And then we have that light moving around and hitting all the people in the world so they get to wake up and really start to feel, see, and know the collective need for us all to empower both Mother Earth, the universe, and one another. And I see these lights flowing round and round and running into people and I wanted to say kitching people, softening people, helping them learn to share. Let's think of Scrooge in the the Christmas Carol. And bring that light back in through yourself. Fill your own heart. That's right, fill your heart. Good. And now move that light through your own chest and straight up through the top of your head out into the great central sun and then back down again. And then cycle it all through your body, mind, and through your feet and into the core of the earth and back up again. And now let's close off the Galactic Healing Center and let's jump into our spinning star tetrahedron. Good. And spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and then come on back into the room with me. I'm going to give you the call-in numbers. I want you to call in really soon. This is a show about waking up, so let's talk about waking up. Let's talk about transitions. What is it like to wake up? Do you know that some people wake up by passing? Some people actually pass in order to work with consciousness on our planet from a better perspective or a different perspective. So waking up has a whole lot of different descriptions, doesn't it? So call in at 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Now also, there are, I think, four numbers on the front page of BBS Radio, so please use any of those numbers. So we're going back into transitions and transformation. And one of the things I wanted to say, well, I'll go back to my friend here because we're having some wonderful conversations about what's going on with her. And as I mentioned before, she said it was very, very intricate inside of her. And it was really difficult for her to feel the loss of friends and loved ones and so on because her consciousness has gone into a very, very different place. Have you ever experienced that? That her preoccupation is tremendous. So what she's learning to do now is to access other lives, past lives and so on. And in accessing those, find out, you know, we talked in the sacred geometric structures of how we were pulling out frequencies that come in from other lifetimes. And what she's been told and what she's been talking about, because as I said, she's an amazing teacher and healer. She's been talking about how some of her ability to love and manifest and even heal herself has been impacted by other lives. Now, this is a woman who has done some tremendous healing on herself before, but right now seems to be stymied on that. And one of the reasons is, I won't go into her personal life, but one of the reasons is a heartbreak. And the thing that she's realizing with the help of others, some intuitive, me included, and and some astrologers and some pretty big people who can focus on the greater picture, she's learned a lot about how the impact of some of her lifetimes, and she hasn't been, I don't think, loaded with compassion about some of these. Some of her lifetimes, she has been, like all of us, a little out of control. And some of that has stifled. You know how some people are born with a really, really powerful, loving force? And, you know, I know a few people like that. They just radiate love all the time, where some of us have to learn how to radiate love. And the reason for that is that we have, I'm thinking of about five different people right now, we have all kinds of things that have happened in other lives. I'm thinking of a woman I'm very fond of and have worked with for many years. And we hit a past life where she had been really, and she'd been a novice nun and had been quite delicate, and she really loved this nun who was training her, teaching her, mothering her, and so on, and was also her surgeon. She had heart problems, and at 13 or 14 years old, we saw her undergo surgery by this nun that she loved very much, and she died in the surgery. Now, the reason for that as being an important story is because this woman, even though she's loving and is actually very loved, hasn't been free. Whenever she feels the incredibly expansive vulnerability that you do when you really love, where you want to just surrender to love, up comes this horrendous fear, panic, shutdown, and self judgment. It's a really interesting process. Now, I know other people with some version of that, where you go to be really, really loving, and it's easier to be loving where you're standing on a podium loving a whole room full of people than it is to be loving in your kitchen with the people that you're intimately involved with, if that makes sense, or that there are people who are really afraid to allow somebody new into their life because they're absolutely terrified about love. We're going to go into the heart chakra and talk about that. But that's the kind of thing that comes from past life experiences, probably many, many lifetimes of experiences, of discovering that where you're naive, innocent, and very, very open-hearted, ha-wang, gosh, maybe you were crunched by a dinosaur, I don't know, but there's an awful lot in our history that speaks of the dangers of love. And yet here in metaphysics and in our world of expansion, we're always talking about love. Gotta love everybody. Gotta love everybody. How many of you can do that? Why don't you call in and talk about that? Because that's a very interesting subject. So anyway, my friend, in her exploration of this particular transition, this major transition in her life, has encountered several past lives in which love has been really detrimental to her, and lifetimes where she hasn't wanted to love anybody, and that there are aspects of her vibrational reality which are kind of locked down or strapped down in her body-mind where she could not manifest receiving love on a very deep and intimate level very well. It just hasn't worked for her. So the dream is, or the suggestion is, that that's really what's at the core of her health issue right now. And you and I know, it's easy to say that very simplistically. We don't know for sure if that's all it is. But it's been a very interesting journey for her in the sense of digging in there and going into those places and really try to bring it up and see if she couldn't release what's being held inside. Because in many ways, the cellular structure that's in there is a structure of, with cancer, oftentimes we talk about it as suppressed or repressed anger. And we talk about it, I don't think of it as strictly anger. I think of it as a kind of a deep resistance, a pattern of holding our position way down deep inside. What is it you think when you hear of somebody having cancer? I mean, our society, you can say it's toxicity and so on, but in our society, there's an awful lot of impact where people don't get really personally recognized, personally held, personally understood. Everything's going faster. And there's a lot of resistances in us at a very deep level about being safe, being vulnerable. We're supposed to be kind of able to handle everything ourselves, about sharing too much. Relationships have broken down a lot. So there's that whole fear of giving in to a full relationship. So anyway, it's a very interesting process of dredging up these past life experiences and helping people, not just my friend who's passing, but that's kind of the work that we do these days, of really trying to help people encounter, not deny, but encounter the holding patterns that have come from many other lives. Because remember, those are the things that we bring with us. So the idea is when you're releasing, you want to do, when you're getting to the other side, again, for the maybe 4,333rd time, you don't want to take with you those suppressions and repressions and confusions, because it just seems like they create wear and tear on the bod when you come back. What do you think of that? So I want to give you the numbers one more time. I'd really love you to call in and talk about how you handle transitions. And I'm going to do my old trick of reading some of the people out there that are not necessarily expecting to be picked on, but I'm going to pick on you anyway. Oh, goody, you're calling me, so I don't have to pick on anybody. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. It's Jaya Khan.
Hi, Jaya. It's always wonderful to talk to you. How are you?
Well, I'm listening to you, and I'm just noticing the connection between my root chakra and my heart chakra, and it feels like the blockages to my heart are really coming from my root chakra.
Isn't that interesting? How would you? Yeah, well, I'm going to let you explain it because I know you're a very wise woman. What do you think that means?
Well,
isn't that fascinating? I mean, think about it. Are we not the most interesting being?
Well, I think you were talking about past lives, and obviously, often end badly.
Mm-hmm. What did you say? I'm sorry.
I was just wondering if you saw a past life that would explain this, just that a past life that
yes,
ended
I do.
Badly.
Uh-huh. And as you say that, you know what's really interesting, Jaya, and people at home, as soon as you said that about, you know, you repeated the past lives thing, because I didn't quite hear you, and then what happened is my face, you got your face smashed in.
Oh, dear.
My face got really weird, and it went way out of whack, and that it doesn't mean my real face. It means my vibrational face that's empathizing
mm-hmm.
with what you say. And I'm saying, indeed,
mm-hmm.
that your base chakra has encoded in it some terrific, that's not the only one. That lifetime that where the face got smashed in was a, I feel this, that you had now pay attention to this in your own body and let me know how to correct this, because this might be not quite what you get. But you had a number of children. And someone broke into this very rough cabin of yours, and this is somebody that you had loved as if it were like a brother or someone like that with whom you've had dissension. I think it was a war kind of dissension. And came in and smashed in your face and your body, and I think burned down your house and your children.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was horrendous. So as soon as you brought that up, my face went whang. And the picture I got is that the tangle, the really huge tangle, was that the person who did that was someone with whom you had disagreement, but also, like I say, I think it's a war thing. Maybe it was a civil war or something, but it looks like it was a war separation, and that you had a love for him, although... You see what I mean? You loved him, and then that was
uh-huh.
the person who killed you, really. It
uh-huh.
is really horrendous. And I see your eyes when you're dying having such you know that kind of look in somebody's eyes where it's disbelief and love
mm-hmm.
and confusion and even compassion, but there's mm-hmm. also tremendous fear, right? And part of the fear was the immense rage and fury and coldness in him and the impact of that on your children. You seem to have like three or four little weak kids around.
Was this a long, long time ago?
Yeah, I would say about 250 years ago. And that's why I think it might be, when was the Civil War? Was that only 100 years? No, it was 200, wasn't it? I'm not an American, so you have to beg my ignorance of being...
I think it was 1860 or something. I'm not a good historian.
I'm not either, but what I do know is that the reason for the dissension at this point was a political thing.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't in agreement about what was being done, but you still had this feeling of like you could be on different sides of the fence, but you wouldn't expect, for example, your brother to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And so when I'm in your body energy field, it seems to impact the right side of your belly area and the sacrum and the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the guides are saying that's not the only one. How are your feet right now?
They're okay.
Okay. It looked to me like the left foot was looking a little weaker, but don't worry about that. It's just that and I'm telling people at home as well, when you do this kind of work, you want to make sure that you're paying attention to any of the body parts that tick or tingle or freeze or go numb or, you know what I mean, or get sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll learn a lot about where your body has been carrying on whatever the trials were of that life. You have two more other lives that were really having a huge impact, too. One of them is in Egypt, and one is probably like 200 or 300 years after Christ. And again, they were just, and I won't go into too much more because I probably have to see if anybody else is calling, but it seems like in both of those cases, they're saying that they were people who you had a great deal of affinity for, but that had come apart because of ideas. And in both cases, you know, people used to kill each other all the time, didn't they? That was before television, right? Maybe television is just carrying on that great art of how we bop each other over the head under duress. Because in both those cases, you just look like somebody comes in and you're a woman both times. That was three times all together. And in all those cases, you were somebody who was killed by someone with whom you had a close affinity, but there was a breach of affinity because of ideas, you know?
And it was a man?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I want to say, especially in the one in the middle, I think it's like 200 to 300 years after Christ, it really broke their heart. It's like, I can't believe this is happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have another caller, so probably I should head to that one. And what I would recommend for you is call up in your body where these things are and then sit with that, because the rule of thumb is that our karma is simply an idea, and if you pay attention and not be in denial, you can dissolve that.
Okay.
All right?
Okay,
and
thank you,
Veronica. And I expect some report card from you in a while.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Veronica. This is Ted.
Hey, Ted. How are you? How's your heart?
I'm pretty good. That's what I was going to call about the... That's the area that shows up in breathing, that I'm not fully breathing. So, you know, it's just like everything. Our breath shows the area that is not quite there as far as the breathing properly is the area that needs to be worked on, and that's it. That's the one for me. So,
That's really funny, because somebody was telling me the other day about a certain kind of breath work. I think it was Judith Kravitz's breath work, because I said, oh, yeah, she was on my show. But they were talking about how the breath will show you exactly where the karma has been lodged. So
yeah.
We're on the same page here.
There's a lot of clues in that. Yeah, it sure is. Yeah.
So what are you going to do about it? Using the breath, okay, what are you going to do about that?
Well, I was going to just actually work on my own as well as with on that. That's what I was going to ask, you know, should I just, you know, do an affirmation that I'm giving and receiving love, you know, or just ask to kind of, breath is such a great release anything that has has to do with that.
Well, you know something, Ted? Here, I'm a little bit of a Dickens. You know, you're a Libra. I'm a Gemini, right? So we're just a little bit wilder than you.
Yeah.
Well, so you must be having a birthday, right?
Yeah, today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, happy birthday to you. But I want to say this, that, and this could be a good birthday present, actually. How I handle it, I learned this from my guides, is I call it up and I say, I want to feel all that pain that's holding in my heart then. I want to feel what it is. And sometimes what you'll do is you'll get tears, you'll get a weird kind of an ache, it'll exaggerate itself. And as I do that for you, talking to you about it, my heels of my feet get kind of strange. And I go, you know, you could be getting all kinds of funny messages from your body. So a recap is I would go right into it, say, ah, I see that it's in my heart, and I know that because of how the breathing goes. Now I want to, and I just sometimes stomp my foot. I sometimes reel around like the Tasmanian devil, and I say, I want to feel that, and then you get information. You see what I mean?
Uh-huh,
and once you
sure.
get the information, you could probably breathe into it like mad, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that really brings it on.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
well, I think
that's a problem. I don't feel nearly as much. You know, I can think about what I'd probably be feeling, but a lot of times I don't really feel it. So,
but when you're breathing,
I do though.
When you're breathing, Ted, and you know that your heart's not as free to hold the breath as the rest of your body, is that the right way to put it?
Right. Uh-huh. That's exactly right.
Okay. So how does it feel to you? How do you feel your heart at that time?
Well, I don't know. And it's just picked up by these professionals, and, you know, they all say the same thing. I'm not going in. It's not going in that part. It's going into my stomach grade and my lower chest, but my upper chest is not. So, you know.
But you know what I think?
By more than one person, too. So, you know, it's obvious.
Well, my sense of you is that you're going to learn to feel it yourself. And that's where you really, really make a difference. Once you feel it yourself, you know, you can focus. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like opening, it's awakening. It's the thing we were talking about earlier. It's like waking up. And I feel you can do that. And you know something, and this is not sexist on my part, it's going to sound like it. It's for boy people, it's harder to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not because you're wrong. It's because that's the way you've been trained, right, for thousands of years.
Yeah, sure.
So let yourself open, because I feel like what happens is you've got your head runs it. Your head keeps your we talked at the beginning about how the heart, people are afraid of the vulnerability of the heart, mostly because we've all been around the block. So if you open your heart, then you're going to be vulnerable. So your head concocts ways for you not to have to drop into vulnerability.
Yeah.
So you want to talk to your body and say, okay, if that's all true, I want to feel what's in my heart. I want to feel the fear, feel the vulnerability, wrap yourself in light, and really amp it up. And I believe that you're going to touch what went on inside. I think you'll be able to touch it quite well.
But oh, good.
It's,
okay.
It's your head that's running things.
Yeah. And I guess I could do it on my own rather than, well, I wouldn't work with professionals, but not all the time. And so it got me all the time. So,
I think working on your own is sometimes a great way to amp up what they're doing. And also, you're one who might need to do it on your own. Sometimes this happens to me, okay, and other people I know, that sometimes you have to work on your own because there's a self-consciousness that you want to be away from long enough to give yourself some research time, you see?
Uh-huh.
Because you have that. It's a very gentle but feisty self-consciousness. I'm not making you wrong. I'm just saying that sometimes makes us less responsive to the professional in the moment. I would go home and Roto-Rooter myself, use my mind that way, and ask to feel it, and then go back to your professional when you're ready.
Okay.
How does that sound?
All right.
Well, I want you to have happiest birthday, because you've grown so much lately that you need to celebrate who you are.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, it's been rather quiet, but that's okay.
Well, let's have everybody from Radiance by Design send you a wonderful happy birthday greeting.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Veronica.
All right, take care.
Here we are at the end of the show. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. So this is Veronica Entwistle. We're almost done with this show. I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. I don't know. I didn't receive her note this week because I'm on the road, and I don't really know why I didn't receive it. However, so it's a magical, magical presentation coming up, and I'm so excited to be with Jackie and the team. And as I said last week, I went off and studied the reconnection with Eric Pearl last weekend. And, oh, it was a wonderful, wonderful, it was 2 weekends ago. It was a wonderful course. And next week on Paradigm Shifters, I'm going to have Christine Upchurch again, who's going to talk about the reconnection. She's one of Eric Pearl's right-hand people. And it's going to be fun to talk to her and about the latest reconnection activities going on all over the world. So that's on Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. So this is at West Coast time for those of you who are way over there on the East Coast or over in England or in Singapore or Hong Kong. This is Veronica Entwistle saying if you have ideas, feedback, comments on this show, suggestions for other Paradigm Shifters, or just all around want to say hello, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. Also, if you want a session with me, which I've been doing a lot of as I travel as well, Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com. I'd like you to take a deep breath. Bring in some of the wonderful frequencies that are just being downloaded from the universe now to help us with our shift. Lace it with love and send it out to one another for our Radiance by Design community. Thank you so much for listening. See you at the top of the hour.